Is it a snake? An eel? A buzzsaw? The frilled shark is none of those things, and yet it's something of all three. This creepy-looking ocean critter appears to have blunt, pearly whites from a distance, but a close look reveals rows and rows of pointed tridents ready to latch onto prey. Why deviate so much from the typical shark weaponry? Sometimes the strange way is the right path in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
My 30 minutes? Moi?
Yeah.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a fish with an identity crisis, but more on that later.
That seems to be par for the course for fish. I think that's why, like, a lot of vegetarians are pescatarians. Because fish just don't have it together.
A lot of pescatarians.
I won't eat a cow, or I won't eat a pig, or a chicken. Those are animals that understand where they are, their place in the circle of life.
Yeah.
Fish understand nothing, and therefore I shall eat them.
Fish don't understand anything. I started rereading the Redwall book. And it's like all anthropomorphized animals, except for they catch fish. They'll eat a fish.
Fish don't count.
Fish don't count.
Well, and it's like we also watch the all the old like Mickey Mouse cartoons from the 40s, and it's still like, what's the difference between Pluto and Goofy again?
Yeah. Well, in Redwall, like. It opens with like the bad guy coming in on a cart with
a
horse. Like a normal sized cart with a normal sized horse. But they also are besieging Redwall Abbey, which is, I guess, a mouse sized abbey. So are there humans in the world, and is there a tiny building in the woods? Because normally, like, these anthropomorphized animals that live in a small world live in a more like there's like if like the Secret of Nim, you know, where they're like living in holes, or American Tail, living in holes in the human world, you know.
Right.
But they built an abbey. there's a monastery, in the woods somewhere, in Mossflower Wood.
And of course, the horse is not a
No, the horse is a regular horse.
Yeah, it's the same in Bluey. It's a bunch of talking dogs, but that's it. There are cats, but cats are normal cats.
The cats are normal. Are they normal sized cats?
Yeah, they're normal sized cats, like jump into your hands. So these are anthropomorphic dogs that are the size of people.
This is what dogs think they are. They think
it really doesn't matter that they're dogs, actually. I don't know why. They just chose them to be dogs to have, I guess, like a fun cartoon aesthetic. But like almost none of the material has to do with the fact that they are dogs.
They don't have any dog
or
interests.
Or even acknowledges it. Well, except for the fact that like they're little nods. Like the dad, his job is a paleontologist because dogs dig up bones.
Okay.
And the mom's job,
the dad's,
she works at airport security.
No.
I don't know what the other jobs are. The kid's teacher is an Australian shepherd. So like a shepherd dog is the teacher. You get it. So sometimes there's like a little wry nods to like, hey, they're They're dogs, and they wag their tails when they're happy. But other than that, it's like they're just people. They just have houses. They drive cars. They have money. Anyway, we're way off track.
Drive money.
We're talking about the frilled shark. We're not talking about dogs.
Sure are.
We're back to the ocean depths, talking about the apex predators of sharks. Although this one's not an apex predator. But the frilled shark is also known as the lizard shark, the scaffold shark, and the silk shark.
It's also a disgusting shark.
It is. I've seen worse. Like the goblin shark or the cookie cutter shark?
Cookie cutter's pretty nasty.
This is not a cute one by any stretch of the imagination. There is a plush for one.
There's a plush for everything.
Did you see a picture of that? There's a plush for this frilled shark. Blood red gills and all. But anyway, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because I still need to describe the animal. But we're going to call it here the Elizabethan eel because it's frilled. And Brush Limbaugh. For reasons that will become apparent, but also just because it lashes out at things. Let's taxonomize this. Let's do a little bit of obligatory science.
Okay.
The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. The kingdom is Animalia, of course. The phylum is Chordata, because it has a spinal column. Or no, it doesn't need a spinal column. It needs a notochord, at the very least.
Yes.
A place where all of the nerves combine together in a line at some point.
Perfect harmony.
You do not need a bone spine to be in chordata. I mean, the sharks don't have bone. They have cartilage, but... Anyway, the class is Chondrichthys, which is cartilaginous fish. Instead of, Actinopterygii, which is bony fish. The subclass is Elasmobranchi. Branchi. C-H-I. You never know. Is it going to be like child or is it going to be like chimera? Who knows? We're going to go Elasmobranchi. The order is Hexanchiformes. Going with the C-H-I there again. Hexanchiformes. The family is... Chlamydosalacidae, or Lachidae, again with C-H-I. So, Chlamydosalacidae. The genus is Chlamydosalachis. I think I'm saying that right. Chlamydosalachis. Yeah, there we go. It gets worse the more you put that first part together. The species is Anguineus. So, since we're in the business of naming things, and naming things has been just agonizing this time. These are all like seven-syllable words. It's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Chlamydosalacis anguineus? What does that mean? Does it mean A, frill-gilled blood, B, cloaked lizard fish, C, cloaked snake shark, or D, closed scaffold eel?
The lizard one. Cloaked lizard thing.
Cloaked lizard fish.
That's the one.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are incorrect, but you're pretty close. The answer was C, cloaked snake shark.
Dang.
Chlamydos... is cloaked. I did not go ahead and look up what the disease having to do with it is why that's cloaked. But yeah, you feel free to do that research on your own. And so That's the that Chlamydos is cloaked, and then Slakos is a cartilaginous fish or shark. So, cloaked shark, and then Anguineus is Latin for snake or snake-like.
Huh.
So yeah.
It sounded familiar. Which is Anguineus.
Anguineus, 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 Anguineus.
Yeah.
Instead of Amadeus.
Vamadeus. Yeah, cool. Yep. Okay. What's it look like?
All right. Let's talk about what this looks like. Again, there is a plush for this. If you... I don't know why you would get it. This is a... it kind of has a Lovecraftian horror vibe going to it. I mean, long, slimy looking,
yeah,
pallid, with complete, even more dead eyes than a normal shark.
Orphan of Kos.
And yeah, it does look like a cosmic spawn. Not like any cosmic being that's in charge or has any sort of authority, but this one's definitely one of the spawns.
This is the thing at the end that you turn into in one of the endings of Bloodborne.
Yeah. Except that thing was, this is less pathetic than that. This looks like it has a little bit more agency. So it has it's got this dark brown slate gray hide. In this sandpaperish skin covered with those tiny denticles like most sharks, which is why you will lacerate your hand if you pet them back to front, because their skin is literally covered in tiny teeth. That's why they call denticles. That are all facing towards the back. So if you run your hand from the front to the back, it's fine. Back to the front, you're going to cut yourself on all the tiny teeth that covered skin. It has a broad, flattened face with a comically short, rounded nose and beady little eyes that have either seen some things or seen nothing, because it looks like it looks blind.
It does look like it stared into the void and the void stared back.
And the void took its sight,
yeah,
as a payment. It's a lot of pictures I see of it. I mean, it's dead in a lot of the pictures I see of it, but it has green, kind of foggy, milky eyes. So it does look like it's blind.
Yeah, it does. The problem is, like, there's a lot of the real images are of specimen that are not in the natural habitat, which probably means they are dead. So it's hard to tell. They could be like glazed over dead eyes, but.
They are green.
There are a few that, yeah, do have that green. I don't know if it's their true green or if they reflect green. Like they're, you know, like when you take a pic, like when a deer in the woods, like reflects, or a cat's eye.
Or just any eyes that have the reflecting irises. I mean, when we still get like, we have the baby monitor and every once in a while we'll just see the reflection of eyes back at us.
Yeah,
the babies. There are a couple pictures of this guy, of this frilled shark, that remind me heavily of the artist's rendition of Gollum in the Rankin Bass Hobbit, like a very very froggish, fish like almost pathetic face with this gray skin falling off of it, and then again those pupilless, foggy, milky, greenish eyes. Very odd looking creature. It has six pairs of gills. They ring its throat like an Elizabethan collar, hence giving it the frilled shark name. These are, in many cases, bright red. The flesh behind the gills is bright red. So if you look at the plush that they made of it, it's just got these like blood red gills. It just looks like it's been sliced and diced a little bit. And it has a kind of a puny dorsal fin tucked away back near the tail, so it does not have that like typical shark triangular dorsal fin that, you know, starts the John Williams notes. But it does have oversized rounded pelvic and anal fins that kind of act as a sort of rudder underneath the shark. And it has a triangular tail fin with no real lobes or notches, but just a kind of a chiseled frill, kind of like the Thresher shark. If you want to go back and listen to that episode, very Thresher shark-esque tail. I think we've covered the description. I think everybody's got a pretty good picture painted.
Mm-hmm.
How big is it,
Joe? Great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and their dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is.
Is it a shark?
Could be. I bet you it was an advertisement and then a shark.
You need to just look these things up on Brave. You never get an advertisement.
It doesn't work good.
Brave doesn't work good? Or do other stuff good too?
No, it doesn't. Oh, without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
Forget years. I've never felt this good.
You know what that is? No idea. No, is it one of the extreme sharks?
Extreme or extreme sharks?
Dinosaurs? No, wait. Street sharks. Street sharks.
It is a street shark.
Oh, nice.
Could you tell by its radical voice?
It was tubular.
That's rocks.
It gave me Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle vibes.
Yes.
Just the energy.
It basically was a show that was like, what if we did the street sharks and made money off of the street shark fame, but make it sharks.
Or make the TMNT fame, but make it sharks.
Yeah, whatever I said. Sounded wrong.
Oh, was it? That was our trivia name, a street shark named Desire.
It's the perfect name ever. I love that name. It's street shark. It shows that you're both radical and well read.
This is too. I haven't read a streetcar named Desire, and I haven't watched Street Sharks. So I'm at neither. I'm a neither part of the Venn diagram.
You didn't have to read it in school?
No, I had to read other. I don't even know what it's about. Oh, I bet you it's about romance.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of, probably. I bet you it's not about cool racing.
It has nothing. It has almost nothing to do with
a street cars. Car. Yeah, of course it doesn't. Like a Catcher in the Rye. Not too much. It's not a baseball movie or book.
Or a fishing book. Movie.
It's also not about bread. So anyway. Oh, yeah. It's up to you. You're on Measure Up.
Yeah.
That was a street shark. And
his name's Rock. Name Desire? With an X.
Oh. It's not Desire. Then you do need to include a character named Desire.
Yeah, if there was a girl street shark, it'd be something like that in the 90s. But all the male street sharks are named stuff like Rocks and Guitar and stuff like that.
No, her name would be Desiree, and then you could just read it as Desire.
True. Well, the frilled shark has a total length of 6.6 feet. 2 meters-ish. Well, how many of those things go into these things? A, is it 4.4? deep sea anglerfish go into the length of a frilled shark. B, 2.5 frilled sharks go into the length of a Trieste's observation gondola.
Like a sad observation gondola?
Trieste. The observation gondola of the Trieste. The bath. It's a bath scaff. A bathy scaff that reached the Mariana Trench in 1960.
Okay, yeah. Whatever a bathy scaff is.
Bathy scaff? It's a submarine. Goodness gracious. It's a submarine.
Oh, like a bathysphere. Kind of like, okay.
But it's
just an old-timey way of talking about a submarine.
Bathy S-C-A-P-H-E.
Bathy scaff? Bathyscaphe?
Yeah, bathyscaphe. An observation gondola of the tree stay, the bathyscaphe. Shut up! It's a submarine.
It's a submarine on a cable.
Yeah. Anyway,
we all live in the cable submarine.
Two frilled sharks going into that thing, that submarine that went to the thing, the Mariana Trench in the 60s, or C, 3.7 vampire squids going to the length of a frilled shark.
The black anglerfish one. A, final answer.
The deep sea anglerfish?
Oh, yes, the deep sea anglerfish.
Does that correction change your equation?
Absolutely not.
Well, final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes.
4.4 deep sea anglerfish going to the length of a frilled shark. They're about 1.5 feet.
It is one of, I think, the mercies of creation that anglerfish are as small as they are.
Yeah. Although, who knows? Maybe they're not. There's really giant ones in the ocean we don't know about.
No, there aren't. Don't tell me that.
And they're just too heavy to float to the surface when they die. The gondola, the bathy scaffy, is 10 feet. Now you know that. The weight of the frilled shark, let's talk about that, 200 pounds up to. 6 feet, 200 pounds. Basically,
200.
Yeah.
That's a big boy.
Like a linebacker. Like actually kind of a small linebacker.
Yeah, 200 pounds is wimpy for a linebacker. I mean, over 6 feet is fine, I guess, but still kind of short.
High school linebacker.
There you go. Still 200 pounds is a little on the small side.
I don't think. Average NFL linebacker is 245 pounds. Linebacker's got to be fast. Lineman, that's like 300 pounds.
Oh, never mind. You literally don't know the difference between the two of those. It's just all the same. They're the biggest guys on the team, right? So
linemen are like the two, like the front lines. They just kind of like push each other.
They're the meat walls.
Linebackers are behind the defensive linemen, and they have to be. They're kind of like read the play and rush in to tackle. So they got to be fast. They're big and fast. They're the nice combination between big and fast. They're the Marios in Mario Kart, the Yoshis,
the all rounders.
Yeah. How many fit into each of these things, or vice versa? A, 389 deep sea viperfish go into the weight of a frilled shark. B, 10 frilled sharks go into the weight of the Alvin submersible's pressure sphere. Or C, 61 giant isopods go into the weight of a frilled shark. You know the Alvin submersible. That's a famous submarine. The pressure sphere of the DSV Alvin. I think that was Cousteau. He went in that.
Let us go with... Also, is this the second submarine one you've done? We're going to go with the submarine one. Alvin. And the...
No. Jacques Cousteau did not invent the Alvin. He was a contemporary of it, and he focused on other technologies like the Aqualung. And his own submersible, the Diving Saucer. You have a final answer?
Yeah, the Alvin.
The correct answer is 10 frilled sharks go into the way of the Alvin submersible. The pressure sphere of it. The pressure sphere weighs about 2,000 pounds.
A ton. A ton of Alvin.
Do you have any fast facts before we get into the major fact?
I sure do. But I do want to point out that I'm 2 for 2 on that. That was pretty good.
That was pretty nice.
All right. The frilled shark haunts the Atlantic and Pacific oceans from the chilly Norwegian fjords down to the Chilean coasts, Japanese bays, to the Californian kelp forests. Basically anywhere where the ocean gets deep, because it is a deep water lurker. It hangs out on continental shelves and slopes, going from 400 to 4,200 feet down. And it is over-vivaporous, like a lot of sharks, which means that it lays eggs. Those eggs get fertilized, but then it hatches, the young hatch inside the mother, and then are born as live young. So the ovo part is egg, and then vive means live. So it gives birth to live young, but they do hatch out of an egg still. The gestation period is 3.5 years. That is a long time, as opposed to, you know, the 9 months of a human. After that gestation period, about 2 to 15 pups, shark pups, will come out at a time. This is year round, since seasons are for surface dwellers, and these are sharks. They like to eat squid. About 60% of their diet is made up of squid, beaks and all. They like to eat smaller sharks. They eat bony fish that they find, and they will also opportunistically snag floating bodies from the surface or higher strata of the ocean as well. They are ambush artists. They'll coil their tail against a rock and then kind of like eel lunge forward to unhinge their jaws and swallow prey whole. And they live for about 25 years in the wild, which, you know, is pretty long for a fish, but we've met some sharks that put that to shame. They are mostly lone wolves, solo operators. But they only really bunch up together for mating season. At one point, there were 30 of them that showed up together off the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which was one of the larger gatherings of them. And they are not at the top of the food chain. Larger sharks can eat them even as adults. But again, they are 6 feet and 200 pounds, so they don't have a whole lot to worry about, which further supports my, probably not giant anglerfish down there theory, because then that would be something they'd have to worry about for sure. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, what's interesting about these boys is their teeth. First of all, they're interesting because it's a shark that looks like an eel that looks like a snake. Its head is very snakish in some of these pictures. And its feeding style is very snakeish in some of these pictures. in some of these realities. The frilled shark has trident-shaped teeth. If you look at a picture of them, they have rows of teeth like any shark, but the teeth are in like three spikes on each one. They are Poseidon's tridents, each one of them. And they have approximately 300 arranged in 25 to 27 rows in both the upper and lower jaws. Each row containing multiple teeth. And each tooth is this trident shape featuring three sharp needle-like cusps. A central main cusp flanked by two smaller ones. This gives them a fork-like appearance and function. The teeth are small-ish compared to other like a great white, like a big flat tooth. But each tooth is about 1 centimeter in length in an average-sized shark. And the trident design is not meant for serrating like other sharks, like tearing off flesh. It's made for gripping. It's intended to, and they're all curved backwards. They're not like literally pointing at the throat. These pop tridents go. It's like the front tooth is pointed down and the back one is pointed up. So it's like this on a curve. The row is on a curve. They're smooth and enamel covered, slightly curved backwards, and ideal for hooking and holding onto slippery, soft-bodied prey. So they're designed for grasping rather than slicing. The teeth are perfect for capturing soft, gelatinous, squid-like, octopus-like prey, which it dominates the shark's diet. And the backward curve ensures that prey cannot easily escape. It is like, it's like like when you, the monkey trap. You know about the monkey trap where you like, you put a hole with like blades that curve in and you put some fruit on the inside and the monkey will grab it. Or a raccoon. This isn't, have you ever read Where the Red Fern Grows?
No, I have not. That was another one I was not forced to read in school.
It's like they when they make a fist, they can't get their fist out. The multiple rows allow for continuous replacement like many sharks. As the front teeth wear out or break off, new ones move forward, ensuring the shark always has functional teeth. It's important. If they don't have that, they die. So unlike many modern sharks with serrated triangular teeth for cutting, the frilled shark's teeth reflect they're more ancient vertebrates. There's like older like I guess fossils and things like that that have this kind of tooth. They've kept it. They like the style. They're vintage like that.
It makes sense to, if you're going to eat a squid, that you're probably going to need to like latch it down.
Yeah. And they often, like other fish, instead of like tearing chunks off like other sharks, they will swallow things whole like a snake. And if you're going to do that, you don't need to serrate. You don't need to slice things off. You just need to grab it and hold it. And the only direction is down. Like Asmodeus. It's the portal to eternity.
Asmodeus.
That's another...
Inguineus.
That's another Redwall reference. There's a snake. His name's Asmodeus. And when he hypnotizes people and invites them into the into the portal of eternity, which is just him eating them.
What's up with snakes and hypnotizing? They do the things.
They don't do that, but they always do that in cartoons.
I don't understand it. It's not something that snakes are known for.
I wonder if it's something that like people observed because like they would bite and paralyze things and they would just observe like mice standing still in front of a snake and like he's hypnotized.
If a snake has bitten a mouse, the mouse is most of the way inside the snake's mouth.
That's true.
I don't think there's a situation where the snake bites this mouse and then like backs up and then the mouse just kind of like stiffens up in front of him or something. I don't know if it has to do with like people charming snakes.
Could be.
But then that does. But then why would it work the other way around? Maybe it's cartoon irony. Like, oh yeah, you think you're gonna charm the snake, but like, you know, Jungle Book snake's gonna charm you, or what? Even the Robin Hood snake, Sir Hiss, his whole thing is that he just wiggles his eyes and hypnotizes
you. Sir Hiss and Ka in the Jungle Book.
And then you know Amadeus or whatever you said.
Asmodeus.
The reason why I called it Brush Limbaugh is because when I first looked at it, it just looked like
a Republican.
It had a its gums are red, so there's that.
Huh.
But it also it looks like brushes.
Ah.
It looks like it kind of there. I think there's like a transformer. I think. One of the Michael Bay Transformers that has like can opener gears for teeth. This kind of reminded me of that when I saw. I think it's one of the ones that you encounter in the Universal Studios ride, and you go into its mouth, and it's just got all of these like whirring circular sawtooth gears, and so when I saw this, I was like, oh. Looks like it's just got a bunch of like sharp brush-like gears.
And that made you think of that's conservative the broadcasting.
Well, I was thinking of brushes and what goes and and then he does like, you know, lunge out. He's very this is a very aggressive shark. That traps you and never lets you leave. So sure.
Just like a good broadcaster hooks you in.
Yeah, hooks you in. I've actually never listened to Rush Limbaugh.
I don't think I have either.
Whatever AM radio or whatever he's on was not my thing.
I know a lot of people that love him to the Dickens, but I've never heard him myself.
Love him to the Dickens.
That's not a phrase.
Yep.
But it is now.
Had he been transported forward maybe 10, 15 years and been like a big podcaster, maybe that I would have aligned with the target demographic, but nope, I missed it. Talk radio was absolutely not.
One of the things that I did. Becoming a sport, like paying more attention to sports this year, I am listening to the radio a lot more. AM radio. Fox Sports 940.
You're one of the few people keeping that medium alive.
No, actually, apparently it's a thing, like baseball, especially for baseball. A lot of people listen to baseball games because it's free.
Cable and radio. Owe their continued existence to sports.
Yeah.
And I guess really politics. But even then, you have social media for politics, which is by far the best way to consume political information is on a social media platform. He said seriously. All right. That was the frilled shark. Be out there in Podcastia. Munch on some squid and don't let go. Keep an eye out for the bigger sharks and fill your mouth with spiky toothbrushes like the frilled shark here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
They brush their own teeth.